Good evening, everyone. This is the Metaphysical Hour again with Dolores Cannon. We have just gotten back from another trip, so it will be a live show tonight. And I think it was a little too soon. You remember in September, we did the round the world trip where we were in South Africa for the first time. And then we were only home about 2 weeks and did this trip to England and back to Russia. And it really wiped us out on that airplane. So this has been one of the hardest. I think you can't do two of those long trips back to back like that. So we're going to be home for a little while, except for trips in the country. But my daughter Julia went with me, and so we're going to discuss the trip that we just got back from.
Hello, everybody.
And I do have the number in case anybody wants to call in and talk. The toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Okay. Now, the main reason we had to go to England this time, I was speaking in a UFO conference in St. Anne's, England, which is to the north and right on the Irish Sea, just across from Dublin. That's the first time I'd ever been up into that area. But it was a UFO conference, and it's put on by this very nice couple. It's called UK Probe. I think she said it's her fourth year she's been doing it, isn't it?
Oh, no, she's been doing it a long time.
Okay, a lot longer than that?
Yeah, longer than that, I believe. I understood it to be longer, so.
Well, it could be because we know so much. I'm getting it mixed up with ours. But it was really good because she had some other speakers there. And it's the first time to be at that conference. She comes to the Laughlin one in the United States regularly, and so they get speakers to come over there. But there was one speaker particularly you wanted to talk about. His
mm-hmm.
name was Vitaly. And he's really a Russian, but
he's from Georgia, the Russian province. And then he went to Israel for a while, and now he is in London. But he had some really, his story was about visitations that he's been having since he was a young boy. And he just has memories that are just phenomenal. And then they started up again a few years ago, and where he had like symbols, a lot to do with symbols. And so that's very, very, that's his message really, is to get these symbols out to people because they're full of information. And he has a beautiful way that he presents it to music and to, through visual arts and everything, so that you can absorb all of the information they're trying to give you. And, he's just a beautiful person. So.
Did he say he wanted the people just to see the symbols?
Yeah, he said just watch them with an open heart. Don't try to think about them or what they might mean. Just watch it with an open heart. I was brought to tears. It was it was so beautiful. It was just as I it's hard to explain. And he said he did a talk the next week, and one person was healed in the room, and another person was just sobbing. And I said, I know where that was coming from, because it's an emotional thing that happens during it. So
it's something that's touching a different part of the mind or the body than we know.
Yes, it touches the heart.
The heart does.
Yeah,
chakra.
It was like, yeah, that chakra just opens wide open, you know, and all I could do when he came off that stage, all I could say was just thank you. You know, it was just a beautiful experience. And
this was his first time to do a talk, wasn't
first
it?
First talk he ever did. And if that's how he does his first one, I can't wait to see what he does as he, you know, really refined his stuff, you know, because he's working on getting it on paper and maybe forming into a book. So that will help get it out into more of a mass area.
He's a young man, too.
Mm-hmm. He's 33. And he's just, in his whole thing, he just wants to help people. You know, he wants to get this out to humanity. And he's building his website right now, and then he'll have the information on there, too, so.
When we get that information, we can pass it along to
Absolutely.
People also.
Yeah. He just wants to get the information out. He wants people to see this stuff. So.
But in the work I've been doing, you know, we've been told that the symbols are really a language, and the ETs use it, and they said there's whole blocks of information in each symbol, And this is what the real message behind the crop circles are. It doesn't matter if you are in the crop circles, just seeing the symbol conveys blocks of information into the subconscious mind. So this is probably the same theory behind what he is doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just other stuff. And he's, part of what he was doing is like these symbols, one, he was showing them, it was like 11 that he had that he was, that were embedded into him. And then he just started having a compulsion to write. And he just had pages and pages of this writing that, you know, it's a different language kind of thing. It's all these symbols. And that's what he was just showing, all these different pages. And he's like, just look at it with an open heart. And some of them I was feeling like, it's like I was getting like spirals and stuff like that. So I guess it was trying to, it was like, it was saying something, but I don't know what. So,
well, I've also seen these pages of writing that nobody can understand that have been sent to me over the years. Mm-hmm. And Mary Rodwell in Australia has received these. So there is a compulsion among people all over the world to do this kind of writing. And incidentally, the woman in Russia.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, yes. On the same trip, we just met someone else in Russia that's done the same thing. I mean, it was different than Vitaly's writing, but it was the same way it was done. I mean, as far as the lines, although hers were very precise lines, so that was really interesting. But the symbols looked a little bit different, but it's along the same, you know, it's coming from the same place. So,
So that shows it's happening all over the world.
Because
I knew it was happening in England and in Australia, but it's also happening in Russia, too, that people are getting these and they don't know where they're coming from. And they're doing something to the subconscious mind.
Right.
Because in my work, I was told that it is being embedded into the subconscious mind on a cellular level. And people are always saying, well, what do these things mean? But you won't know until it's time. And it's like when the time is right, then it will just suddenly, the knowledge will be there and you won't even know where it came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll just know that you know,
mm-hmm.
and you just trust it. And at that point, you will trust because you'll be at a different place, I think, in your development to where you can trust, you know. So,
because before that, it wouldn't make any sense.
No, and you're always trying to analyze it and do all these things, and it's like that's not what it's for. It's not its place. So.
Everything has to happen its own time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if anyone else out there is receiving symbols, you know it's happening everywhere. And I've been getting information from people about it for at least 15 years that people call and talk about it. And there's some samples in some of my books.
Right. And then we also have Vera Humphrey's book, The Science of Knowledge, where we have pages of the same kind of writing in there. So
that she has received, and she tried to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were looking at, the woman had a huge book in Russia that she had been doing this writing in.
And the artwork also.
Artwork. Mm-hmm. Did you say as you were looking at it, it was getting feelings of healing?
Yeah, she thought, that's what she was wanting to know, what was it about or what was it trying to say? And she was saying something about, she felt like it was symbols to do with, like medical, like how to heal different situations. And I was picking up more of that it was stuff about health. So it was like rather than, I mean, which is a fine difference. It's like on one thing you might say, well, it's the same thing, but it's not really, because the way she kept wording it, it was like, okay, if you have this, then this is what will fix it. Well, that's not what I was getting. It was more like, you do this, you won't ever get this kind of thing. It's like that little bit different angle. And so,
preventative.
Exactly. And she kept saying, well, I think these pages, it was almost like they had a header and then they had all this stuff. And so she was thinking, okay, these are different conditions and then this is what fixes each of them. It might be, I don't know, but inside of me, it was like, that won't be the situation when this is necessary. It's like, this is just, you have this, you won't have any of this. So it's that kind of a thing.
It's the kind of thing you have to pick up intuitively.
Yes.
Because it makes no sense. It's like looking at a very abstract foreign language.
Right.
It makes no sense at all, but yet it does something to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Vitaly's on the same track. He is been picking this up, and he has no idea what it means either, just that it's important.
Yes. Right, and then he's got to get it out to the world, and it's for humanity. I mean, it's very important that humanity gets this. So that's his mission now, is to get it out to the world.
So you're probably going to be hearing more about him as he does more lectures.
Mm-hmm.
He's broken the ground now and sees that he can do it, and he had a good reception.
Yes, he's very good. He knows how to talk. He's a very good speaker. So I see a great future for him in this, in getting this out there, because he does it totally with his heart, and it's beautiful. So
he will be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we're going to run into him again, because we have a definite connection to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say what's going to happen. But let's back to the trip. I want to talk about the various things that happened on the trip. Well, one thing, I'm going to bring in some food and things. When we were in St. Anne's, we had finally found out what Yorkshire pudding was.
Yeah, it's not a pudding.
Because we'd heard about it for years associated with England. And I thought, well, in America, we think it's a pudding. But it wasn't.
It's like a bread. And maybe that is a pudding. I don't know. I think what I got was, if something's sweet, they call it a pudding. So it's like, if it has something sweet, if it has a sweetness to it, then they call it a pudding. And maybe that's like their other word for dessert or something like that, or something sweet.
I don't know, because there are many things that we call one thing in the United States, and then we go over there, and we're totally different.
Mm-hmm.
We've run into that many times over the years of going over there. But anyway, we found out what a Yorkshire pudding is, and it's not pudding, it's like a bread.
Yeah, it's a funny, it's like a puffed up, just a puffed up little fine bread kind of thing.
It's about the size of a bagel, really, isn't it?
A little bit bigger, but it's lighter because it's mostly air, and they love it. They're all getting, they love it. It's like, it's a staple. It's a major staple. So, I mean, everybody ahead of us was getting it. And it's like, okay.
Everyone to their own
I guess taste. It's just like us. We have a slice of bread with our food. It was kind of like that, but there was a little sweetness to it. So I guess it's just that way.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah. We had some very interesting things on this whole trip with all that kind of thing. So.
Well, I'm going to stick in this area first around St. Anne's, because we flew into London, and then we had to go immediately from London to Manchester to get up to St. Anne's. But we had to go to Blackpool, and I had never been at Blackpool, and St. Anne's run together.
Mm-hmm.
And Blackpool was a very interesting town, because I don't know what you would call it, a mini Las Vegas.
I would say it's kind of like Las Vegas was maybe what back in the it was kind of like a beginning Las Vegas, maybe not that far back, but where Las Vegas has gotten so theme park now, it's like the way it used to be. You know, that's what it reminded me of, is like the old strip and the old, it kind of had that feel to it. So I think it's like the beginning version of Las Vegas, and so.
Because back, I know years ago when I first went to Las Vegas, you had all the glittering lights and the gambling places before the big, huge motels and the, like you said,
the theme park.
The theme park thing of Las Vegas. Before all that began, it was just the glittering lights and little gambling places.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they had all along the streets all kinds of lights. They kept saying, have you ever seen our luminaries? And I didn't know what they meant by luminaries. And they said at night, they turn on all these lights that are all along the streets, and they're over
the
street.
Yeah, I think it was 4 miles of lights.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But we weren't there at night. You could see them as you were going under. And then right in the middle of the town, it looks like a miniature Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
About the same shape, sticking up in the middle of Blackpool.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all lit up at night, too. It's all part of this Las Vegas type thing.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, it's definitely different, because we didn't see anything like that anywhere else that we've been in England. So that's their Las Vegas, I guess.
So. I think they said it was the only place.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no gambling as we know it. It's mostly machines, like slots and things like that. They don't have the card gambling and the tables set up.
Okay.
It's just
And they call it amusement.
Yeah.
They don't call it gambling, they call it amusement.
So it was interesting. Mm-hmm. It is just like I call it a mini Las Vegas, or you said the way it used to be,
mm-hmm.
maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
So they said everybody comes there. It's right on the water, right on the beach,
mm-hmm.
the Irish Sea.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people come there just to enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's Blackpool, in case you're looking for gambling of a sort in England.
Right.
Not the gambling that you expect.
It's a nice place. It's a cozy area. It's not so hectic as London. You know, it was more laid back. It was a nice, cozy feel to it.
Yeah. So I think that's why they said people come there for vacations, because it's right by the water, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we were that close, when we finished, we have never been to Ireland. So we're making our plans. Hello? Was that a beep?
Hello?
Is somebody there?
Is anyone there?
Okay, when it beeps, usually that means there's someone calling in. Is anybody there?
Yeah. My name's Peter. I just talked to the screener.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes. I haven't heard. Maybe things are available for sale. I was just wondering, as far as your products, I read a couple of your books, but are there any regressions that are available, the audio of real regressions you had, past life regressions, or is that, are there none available, or do you plan on having any available in the future for sale?
Audio of your regressions?
You mean audios of regressions I have done with other people?
With the real regressions, like maybe from some that were in your book and some of your books. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. We've had requests for that before, but whenever I do the regressions, it's all private. You know, even in the books, I change the people's names so that nobody will recognize them.
Right. I remember reading that in your book that a lot of people were very private. They didn't even want people to know that they changed their names. But yeah, that's what I figured your answer would be, that it's such a private thing. Nobody ever gave you permission to.
I use the information, but I've never sold the actual, audio versions of it. We do have audio versions of lectures that I've given. But not
okay. All right.
Is that all you wanted to know?
And also, what do you plan on? In what do you see in the future as far as what? Do you have any more books coming out, or what are your plans for?
Well, you know, we had the Convoluted Universe series. Have you read those?
The first one I read. I know there's a book 2 and 3.
Yes.
Available right now.
And my next book is going to be Convoluted 4, which I'm working on now. And each one has more and more complicated theories. But in July, we had my last book came out called 5 Lives Remembered. So I now have 15 books out.
And then you're working on three right now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one, 5 Lives Remembered, came out in July. And that's the story of my beginnings, how I got started in all of this. So there's a lot of books out there. You can find all the books on our website. Do you have?
I've read Convoluted Universe, Keepers of the Garden, and I'm in the middle of Jesus and the Essenes now. Do you still keep in touch with Phil,
Keepers of the Garden?
Most popular.
Yes, yeah, we're very good friends. We have remained close all of these years, and he's doing very well. He's 50 now, so you can see how long that's been since we did those sessions. But he adapted very well, and he's doing good. We still are very close friends.
Okay, I missed the show last night on Coast to Coast, but I have it on my podcast that I'm going to listen to this weekend. How did
it go? Okay, they have it in the archives. If you have access to Coast Archives, you'll be able to get it on there.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, I got it. But thanks for your thanks for answering the questions. It was
okay.
Nice to meet
you. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Now let's go back to the trip.
We're at Ireland.
Yeah, because when it makes that beep,
mm-hmm.
that means somebody's on there. It's very hard to hear sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's another call.
Okay, I guess we're not going to get talk much about our trip tonight.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Is somebody there?
Hi, Dolores. My name is Dale, and I'm from Florida. I heard you last night on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and I don't know why, but I haven't listened to those show for quite a few months. And last night, I just felt like I was compelled to turn it on. You, during your presentation, you hit on some key factors that really opened my eyes, and I believe I finally now feel that I have found my purpose in life. And you were describing things to me that hit me with such a vibrant key, like a key opening the door into what I believe to be my true self. I was hyperactive as a kid. My parents didn't know what to do with me, so what did they do? They put me on Ritalin and Depakote.
Oh, uh-huh.
They had me so smashed up as a kid, I didn't know, you know, I had to go through special classes as a kid because I was bored. I couldn't focus properly.
Mentioned that last night.
Yeah, you did, and you also mentioned something about problems with the heart. I have a heart murmur and an enlarged heart now. Of course, I'm a big man now. You know, I'm 43 years old, and I just, oh gosh, I don't know where to begin, but there were things in my life I have been subjected to some supernatural things, not like alien abductions. I was 15 years old. I'll just briefly tell you one that I can. And the other one occurred while I was in the Navy, and I'm really not comfortable talking about that one, but the one I will explain to you. I was 15 years old, home all alone in the house one day. It was this hot summer day. I'd come in, I was working on my car, you know, working on something out in the garage. And I just happened to pause in the middle of my family room, and all of a sudden, it was not just a voice, it was more like I felt a voice reverberate through my body. It was like every single atom and molecule in my body in unison spoke my name. And it said, Dale. And I immediately dropped to my hands and my knees, and I started to weep. I started to cry. I didn't know what it was. I thought, you know, I was raised a Christian in a very, you know, well, structured Christian family, and I thought maybe it was the voice of God speaking to me, and I have held that near and dear to my heart all these years. Now I'm thinking maybe it was an angel, maybe it was something more than it's outside the realm of my understanding. And last night when I heard you talking, it seems like it was all starting to come together. Like, well, Dolores, I gotta tell you, I started crying last night, and I'm a little choked up right now because I kind of feel like the purpose that I have in this life has not yet come to the full measure yet. Like, I believe that my purpose in this world is going to be something that you talk about, that you were talking about, the transition from the old world into the new world. There's something there, I believe. And I've never been hypnotized for this. This is something that I feel that is coming out of me. Because I've always considered myself different, meaning I didn't have the same drive and the same competition drive that young boys my age did. I was in sports, but I just didn't understand the whole competition thing. I was like, what's the fighting all about? You understand what I'm saying?
You're
I think you
normal.
Do. It's just, What am I supposed to do next? That's my question, I guess.
Okay. I tell you, you're perfectly normal because you would be surprised after this show, when I got off the air, I was going to talk about this later on this show today. Anyway, after I got off the air at 3 o'clock this morning, the phone began to ring immediately, and it's been ringing all day. And you were getting the same people that are telling the same stories. And we already, in 3 hours this morning, had a stack of emails kept saying, I'm one of these same people. They said, you struck me to the core that this is my life.
Oh,
so you're not alone.
Not alone.
Not alone.
And it's amazing. You remember George Norrie wanted to know, is just a local phenomenon or anything? And I said, no, it's happening all over the world. And they said there's tens of thousands of people out there now who are realizing what they are, that they don't want to be here and why they're here. And
oh, I don't
remember
want to be here. I always had this saying.
To know what
I wanted. I had this saying. I wish I could just go home. And when I dream and when I sleep at night, I dream of other worlds and other in space, traveling. This is what it floors me. People, I stopped talking about this to girlfriends that I've had in the past because they all think I was nuts. And the last girlfriend that I had, she did have some intuition about things. She could see. I think she was a little bit clairvoyant, but she really never honed her craft. And she told me flat out, and she was sincere about this when she said it. She says, you are destined for something big that this planet has never seen. And you will play a key part in it. And I'm like, oh, gee, well, thanks. Can you be any more specific? But I think maybe she kind of knew. Oh.
But,
anyway.
You know, if you remember last night, there was one young man who's talking about the same things you are, and he wanted to know, what do I do now? And I told him, what we're here to do is to help each other. And there's many, many capacities you can do that in. But it's there's different ways. We're all here to help each other because we're going to go through this together. And it sounds to me like you're going to be one of the ones who will be helping with the transition, moving into the new earth.
Yeah, and I think that's why you're saying, okay, it's yet to be, because that's exactly the case. You're here kind of in a holding pattern waiting for that, your time to do that, and you'll know exactly what to do when it's time.
Oh, thank God, because I've been waiting all my life.
Here, and so part of it is just to be, you know, because that energy is what's necessary to hold it all together so we can shift.
Let me ask you another thing. Does the constant ringing in the ears, is that a part of it too?
Constant ringing in the ears.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because they said that is adjusting frequencies when that happens.
And
vibration.
I'm going nuts.
But believe me, you're perfectly normal. Don't let people, you know, the so-called normal people out there always trying to convince the rest of us that we're not normal. I think we're more normal than they are.
I live down here in the Tampa Bay area. Who do I need to make contact with that you may know that where I can get active and get involved?
Oh, in the Tampa Bay, at some point, people you could get actively involved with? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because you're breaking up.
I got a feeling that it's going, I don't know how, I feel like now I need to be proactive. It's like I've got this, I'm a genie in the bottle and I got to get out and get some air.
Yeah, because you're breaking up. It's hard to understand you. But I don't know any group specifically that I could recommend for you. But, you know,
how about online?
There could be some online. But, you know, I always say, years ago when I was doing this, I was calling us the underground. We're the underground that were going to come to the surface, the ones who believed in metaphysics and believed in these things. And somehow we all find each other in strange ways.
Oh, we
of course,
do.
One way would be through metaphysical stores, bookstores.
Yeah, and they may have references to things going on, to groups or different things.
I I got to be honest with you, too, and put this in perspective. I have, I guess I could tell you a part of the story while I was in the Navy. I was a fleet sailor. I did 4 years on board the USS Theodore Roosevelt. It's a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. And it was back in the late 80s, early 90s. One night out, I would say off the coast, off of our eastern coast. It was probably out there about a couple hundred miles. And we were just doing maneuvers at night, and I was going out to get some fresh air on one of the sponsons out there before I turned in for the night. And I happened to witness this. Bear in mind, too, let me back it up a minute. This is about the time that movie The Abyss came out. And then I don't know if you remember the movie The Abyss, but down in
the Abyss.
Purplish, pinkish purplish watercraft, a UFO, or underwater submerged object come up. This aircraft carrier that I was on was pretty big, okay? I mean, I'm sure you've seen plenty of pictures of it.
Yeah, my husband.
This light array that came up from underneath this carrier was so vast. You could put three aircraft carriers side by side in this wash of light that came up underneath our ship. And this thing moved in such a fashion that there is nothing that I have ever seen move in such a way, in such a fashion, that would explain this thing being man-made. It couldn't. The colors were changing. They were fluid, just like this craft that was in the movie The Abyss. That, it was so spooky. And at the time, I was out at sea when that movie came out and hit the movie. We were at sea for about 6 months. We had not seen this movie. So when I got home and was waiting for it to come out on, at the time, I believe it was VHS, we never knew about the movie. And me and one other man, he was a bosun mate. We both had seen it. And I said to him, I said, are you going to report this? He goes, what are they going to say? What are they going to do to us? And I said, good point. But Dolores, when that happened, a part of me inside, I felt something like it was a memory that was blocked in my somewhere in my mind, and it felt like home.
Uh-huh.
It felt like some familiarity to it, and I thought, God, is it a coincidence? And I thought, I don't know where the rhyme or the reason is to this other than, well, look, you know, we're an aircraft carrier. We're carrying weapons. I can't say exactly what type. I really don't want to give that out. But I'm saying, look, we're a warship. We're out there in the ocean. It's a big ocean out there. I mean, what were the odds of me seeing that craft at that point in time on that specific night? I don't think it was a coincidence.
No,
and I've held that with me for a long time.
There are no coincidences. And if you remember when I said, when I was talking last night about the three waves, and that you are people who have really come from other planets, other dimensions, and volunteered to come into this life to help the world. That's why it probably was so very familiar to you, because that was where you came from. And maybe it was doing it just for you. You were the only one there that saw it. It was something very special for you, and it probably was a memory of home.
I have had dreams of foreign worlds, and it's something that I think that I see glimpses of it in photographs on the Internet of these artists, what we call like Lord of the Ring type, mystical type of characters. it's something that is a place that is much more beautiful than any place here on earth that I've ever seen. If there was a word that I could describe it, it would be heaven. Heaven-like. It's funny. This photograph, this motion picture in my head that I don't really see it too much. I saw it a lot when in my youth. But as the years have gone on, I'm really kind of being deluded with the things here in the world. But I remember people were eating for pleasure. They weren't eating to sustain life. They were eating, and it was mostly fruit. Just simply for just the pleasure of having it. It wasn't a necessity, and I thought, oh my God, if that's what heaven is about, I can't wait to go.
Yeah, you know,
or get back.
I think I did mention it on the air last night too.
Yeah.
That ETs didn't have to eat because their organs had atrophied. So what you would experience is true memory, and it's something very special for you to treasure. Don't worry what anybody else says. It's real to you.
And I think that the incident that you said about your, where you felt your name was being said and you felt it in every atom of your body, that feels to me like a dimensional thing, you know, where it's like maybe he was even moving dimensions, and that's why he could, the body with all the atoms is very, you know, like something to do with the dimensional thing or something. So
do you think that may have been the voice of,
you know, moving through them and just experiencing that? And I'm sure there was more to it, but there was something dimensional there happening.
Do you think it may have been the voice of God speaking to me or somebody else?
I don't know. Or maybe your higher self, or like such a sense of saying your name. It's like maybe that was part of you connecting with you. You know, and all that you are, because you're a very grand, you know, this part of us is so small, you know, compared to what we really are. So
Something else that I want to throw at you. I know I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know your time is valuable, but here's something else that is
because we're on the air, we have a certain length of time is all I can talk.
What's that? I'm sorry, what was that?
Just go ahead. This is going out on the radio, and that's why it only have.
Oh, okay. I'm picking up voices like it's a radio out of tune, like you're changing between channels. And if I get in a real, real quiet place, it doesn't happen. I can't make it happen. It just happens automatically. But I swear to God, I'm hearing voices in my head.
Like the
sounds like
ears,
a radio at sometimes.
Could you hear? See, on the speakerphone, it blocks out whenever we're both talking at the same time.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about myself.
I know what you mean, but whenever you're talking and I'm talking, it cuts out. But what she said, it's like that frequency again, like an adjustment of the frequency, so you're only getting bits and pieces, like from other dimensions, really.
Yeah, you're tapping in, so you're probably sitting here with one foot in this dimension and one foot in the other dimension, and that's why you're, you know, the ringing all the time, because you're adjusting to the both, and then the hearing, you're hearing the other dimension. So you're in between them all the time, rather than being solidly over here in this one. You've got a foot in each one, and so you're tapping into both, and that can get quite confusing, I'm sure, but I would say that's what you're doing. You're moving constantly among at least two, probably more dimensions than that. You know, we're doing this now to help us adjust to this shift. It's not going to be something that we just all of a sudden do. We're practicing all the time, moving and changing our vibrations. So
each time it's a step, it's a raising.
Yeah, and then we're doing it, kind of going up there, but we can't sustain it. So when we actually go, it's when we will actually sustain it, you know, but we're doing that all the time, moving back and forth. And you're just very conscious of it sounds like, by being able to hear it and things. That your veil is probably really thin, so you're getting more of it.
And I was born on, I don't know if this will help you out, but December 29th is my birth date.
We didn't get that.
I was told
really breaking
that
up.
I'm in between or real close to other birds, another bird sign, you know.
I'm sorry, we're losing you.
Oh, okay. How about now?
Much better.
Okay. I was told, guys, this was years ago. I dated this woman, and she claimed to be a gypsy, and she told me that because the hours that I was born, that date had a lot to do with things that would happen in my life in the future. That's all I remember out of that. And what you just said about this multiverse sounds like I just need to keep going with it and just accept it and not look at it as a problem but as an attribute, because gosh darn, yes, I still feel that my life has a certain purpose and then it is coming into intuition.
Definitely. You're here for a reason. And so just go with it and know that you will find your purpose. It's there, and it'll come in its own time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to give up on God either in my walk with I do read the Bible, and I do read and you know what? You did not offend me last night with that. I kind of knew in the back of my mind. Again, here we go. In the back of my mind, I kind of figured this had to have been written by man. This Bible has roots, but how far back do these roots really go? Remember, before the written word, like the Indians, they had storytellers, and these storytellers would have to pass it down to another storyteller. And then it became a written word. So, you know, I am struggling with the faith factor, but I can't help to believe that God is playing a major, and Christ is playing a major factor in all of this, and that maybe I finally do have my heart in the right place to be at the point, the point of time and the hour that he needs me to be.
Yeah, I touched on that last night. We're going to have to let you go because you're breaking up very bad, and it's very hard to understand you.
Okay.
So I appreciate
you. All right, have a good night, ladies.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Okay. Wasn't expecting so many calls, but that's good. You know?
Very good, yes.
Yeah. It's a carryover from the show from last night.
Uh-huh. Hello.
Okay, I guess we're going to be calling tonight.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, who is there now?
This is Renee.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, Dolores. How are you?
Oh, bye.
Hello? Hi, yes, I heard you on Coast to Coast last night. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello? Okay, I heard you on Coast to Coast last night.
My daughter's with me here, yes.
Yes, I heard you on Coast to Coast. It was amazing. You touched on some really interesting subjects. You spoke about the supernatural beings, the people with souls that are not of this realm, of this world. I had an interesting situation that happened to me, a supernatural situation several years ago. I was in bed. I was about to go to sleep. And as I sat there in bed adjusting myself, I looked at my door and there was this extraterrestrial. I thought she was an angel. She looked at me. She was white, but she was light. She had eyes that looked basically like Oreo cookies, but like spokes. She looked at me, and I felt as if, at that time, I just thought that she was just an angel, but now I feel as if she has some connection to do with me, actually, from where I came from. And I have so many supernatural experiences. I'm an author. I'm a first-time author, as a matter of fact. I wrote a fictional book that's about supernatural, paranormal, what have you, things like that. But it's kind of based on my life also, but it's fictional also. Because I was kind of afraid to come out with some of the things that have happened to me in my life. I have had several UFO experiences and extraterrestrials. They come to me straight through my room. They speak on frequencies that I cannot understand, but I could hear them, and I know that it's out of the normal human's ear to hear such things. And I mean, I almost teared up last night because I've been putting the pieces together. It's taken about maybe 12 years to put everything together. But I just want some feedback about this. I mean, who is this woman who I felt this familiarity to? Do you know anything about extraterrestrials that look like light, but they're white, but look like light, and they have eyes that are dark, and they look
beautiful? Yes, I definitely know a lot about these beings that look like light. These are the more advanced ones, because after they've got to the point they don't really need a body, they turn into pure light. What I think it is, these are the ones that you're associated with before you came into this earth. You remember I mentioned that most of these people were ETs on other planets, other dimensions before coming into this earth in these different waves of volunteer. I think this is someone you were associated with, and she just comes from time to time to make sure you're okay. That's the way I feel about it. Be afraid
Dolores.
Of.
Dolores, you know, my mom, my natural mom, my earth mom, she passed away probably about a year and a half before I had a visitation from this other woman. And this woman, she looked like a body. She didn't have a body. But she was like a street light in the nighttime. She illuminated, but she had like a garment on, a white garment also. And her eyes were very dark, very round, like Oreo cookies. And she was just looking at me. And when I tried to get out of the bed to go after her, there was a dome-like force around me where I couldn't move to get out because I wanted to go after her at that time. And also, I've had visitations in the night by, how do you say it, orbs with a nucleus in it speaking through the orb. Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's like a double orb with an orb but another circle around the circle. And it was speaking. I mean, in the frequency in the ear, in the ringing in the ear, and the tapping and all of these different things. And now I don't even feel like I'm of this place now, you know?
No.
I've never been too happy about this place, but I'm a good person. I mean, I know that I have to live here, but I think differently from some of the people that I might meet.
I think because that's happening more and more, and I think that's part of the evidence of the earth splitting.
Yeah, going separating into the old and the new earth.
Yeah, where we're seeing some more. This is like, I know I'm here, but I'm really different. I mean, it's like you're really noticing some of the differences and stuff, and I think that's part of that pulling apart to some degree.
Yes, sometimes I have to touch a tree or put my feet on the ground so that I can get rooted in this place so that I won't go around floating all day. Sometimes I drink coffee so I can stay rooted. Coffee helps me too.
Coffee is good.
I've also heard that too, that people say they have to get grounded. So I think that's what it is.
Yes, I go flying around.
Maybe you're perfectly normal, what we consider normal.
Okay, the woman.
I talk to you, the same kind of people all the time. They come to me as clients, and now we're getting all these phone calls since the show.
Well, you know what, Dolores? You know what? I emailed you today also. I emailed you a couple of hours ago. I'm an author, and I've had some. You know what? I want to ask you a question since I'm on the phone right now.
Okay, I got about five more minutes.
Okay, I'm going to make this really. I'm going to make this really, really quick. I had a situation where, this is kind of personal. I don't want to talk about this on the air because I can't. This is about fire. It's about being in fire but not being burned, being surrounded in fire. No one knows me, so I'll speak. I was surrounded, engulfed in fire that had intelligence, that did not burn anything in the house and had me and my daughter pinned behind a wall, and then I watched it gather itself and disappear. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Would it be similar to the glowing beings, I wonder? Did it look like actual
fire?
No, what it looked like, it was a fire that had started on my stovetop. And that fire, it got big, and I tried to, like, put it out. It leaped.
Yeah.
It leaped out of the pan, out of the pot, covered us completely. And after it covered us without burning us or burning anything, it gathered itself and magically disappeared. What is that?
I'm getting that it was an energy.
Either that or the guardian, if it was a real fire that started, I think her guardian angel was very much there to protect her and to put it out.
Yes, it was a real fire.
You don't have a guardian angel, too, or a guide, whatever you want to call it, who's always around. Mm-hmm. And I would think you have tremendous protection. That's what
I'm
getting, what you also said energy.
She
thinks it could be some kind of energy, too, because it just went out. But that's a very strange phenomena, but it shows how protected you are.
It disappeared, Dolores, right before our eyes. And me and my, and the fire alarm, never smoke alarm, never gone off. It wasn't very hot. It was just, it was like we were, if we had have been actually not protected, we would have melted to the bone.
Yeah.
We were completely inside of fire.
So that was a very special phenomena just for you.
Yes.
It has a meaning for you. It's probably more than I can understand. But if
you know
it's very real, that's sure.
You know what, Dolores? Mm-hmm. If you get the email from me, Renee, if you have the time, because I want to write another book, and I might want to publish through your publishing house.
You can submit it. That's all we could say.
Oh, okay, okay.
We get hundreds of manuscripts submitted, and then we read them, and we make decisions.
Okay, well, if you can go on Amazon Mirror of Truth, you could read the one that I already have.
Okay.
It's Mirror of Truth by Renee Lewis. Thank you.
Okay, but so far, even today, in a few hours, we have a huge stack of emails. So don't be insulted if I don't answer, if for anybody else listening out there, if I don't answer them all because it's impossible.
I know it is.
I do read everything that comes in. That's the important thing.
Well, thank
but
you very much.
So many, it's pretty difficult to answer.
Well, I thank you very much for your work. You have a wonderful website. And thank you, daughter. I don't know her name, but thank you. Thank you, daughter.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, and thanks for calling in.
And you have a wonderful day.
All right.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, the show has turned out tonight to be a little different than we planned.
It's always as it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what Seth said. Sometimes I give a travel log when I come back from a trip, and we had a lot more to talk about the trip. But the calls are interesting,
too. Yes, very. And they're important issues that were, you know, that these people are having. So that's great that they found you over here, too. So.
And it's interesting them to know that they're not alone. This is happening to the many, many, many people, and they always think they're all by themselves, and they can't talk to anyone. They think nobody will think they're crazy. And I think it helps them to know they're not alone. There are many, many like them. Mm-hmm. Some of them know how they get together. Maybe they're not supposed to.
Right. The big part is to be, because it's our energy that is really needed. So, and I know as human beings, we're not used to doing, we think we have to do all the time. We have to do something. But as someone reminded me, remember, we're a human being. And
being.
So we need to be. We're not human doings. We're human beings. And so we want to be. And our biggest part here is to supply our energy and be channels of energy and do the things with the energy to help the earth, because it goes right through us into the earth. And this is what's helping all of this happen, as well as affect all the people around us, but it's helping the earth as well. That's the greatest thing we can do, you know? And it's wonderful because all we just have to be ourselves.
because you don't have to try. This is what you came for. You're here to help the earth. Nobody can tell you how to do it. You just do what comes natural. And stay with the positive, the important thing. Do as much as you can for each other and go with the positive. Now, we're coming up to the time we're going to have to leave. But if anybody has any questions, Oh, I do want to bring out that
yes.
on November the 1st, I will be in the Las Vegas. Not going there.
No.
November the 1st, I'll be in Los Angeles area. I'll be doing a lecture, and I'm also doing a class of my technique in the Los Angeles area on November the 1st, and that whole week will
mm-hmm,
be there.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you can get more details on our website. Also, the middle of November, I'll be speaking at the Edge Life Expo in Minneapolis, if anybody wants to come there. There's more information on our website and about the classes and about everything that I'll be doing. So our website is Ozark Mountain, which is the name of my company, but it's abbreviated, OZARKMT.com.
We also have your name points to the same website, which is DoloresCannon.com.
Oh.
So if that's easier to remember, go there because it'll take you to the same place. So.
Okay, and if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. And Dolores is DoloresCannon, DoloresCannon.com. You'll get switched over there and get all the information you need. And our 800 number, we'll be getting calls constantly all day, but the 800 number is 1-800-935-0045, 1-800-935-0045. And we will get back to our trip on the next one. But this
right.
has been very, very good having the continuation from the coast to
yes.
coast last night.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
Okay. So I think we're done for tonight. And good night, everyone.
Thank you.